Today is August the 23rd, 2018, and you've joined us for our breakfast club this morning. It's about 6 o'clock in the morning, and today is my anniversary. Rosette and our anniversary. We've been married 44 years today, and it's been a joy to be with Rosette all of those years. I want to welcome Marion Monalong and Kay Roy. Welcome aboard this morning. You know, there's a song that was written by Bill Gaither a number of years ago that is a half-truth, okay? And what I mean is that the song is, God is good all the time, okay? We have to break that down a little bit, don't we? The Bible says that God's wrath is revealed to the wicked. Okay. His indignation is against those who come against him and against his kingdom. Our God is a jealous God. He doeth in heaven whatsoever he hath pleased. Our God worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So if words mean anything, now, God's justice is righteous. His judgments are true. But again, we have to realize that God does not love everyone without exception. And that's just the fact. That's just the biblical fact. And the fact it says that he abhors his enemies. The Bible says that he hates them with a perfect hatred. And you might say this morning, well, why do I come on your program and I start hearing all of this, the negative aspects of the attributes of God? Well, the Bible says that he's one God. And let's be honest about all aspects of his attributes. You know, Jacob had I loved, Esau have I hated. The children not yet being born, not having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Well, now God's goodness is to his elect. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard what is God has for those who love him. And, of course, none of us can love him if he had not showered his love upon us. For we were dead in our trespasses and sin. We could do nothing to avail ourselves of his grace. But God, who's rich in mercy, quickened us by the power of his Holy Spirit and caused us to come to him. So this morning, I want to encourage all of those that have been lied to down through the years with these false lies regarding the nature of God. You know, God is the one who rides upon a storm, and he has a fury against his enemies. And God is the one who grants one this life and comfort and joy and peace. back in 1997, about 1997, I was thinking about the books that had such an impact on me. Of course, the first major book was the Bible itself. Welcome aboard, Ruby Kakar. But I was given a book by a farmer, and he said, "You ought to read this book." And I was given that book, I think, back in the 80s, Arthur Pink's Sovereignty of God. And I encourage everyone, if you can get it, Arthur W. Pink, The Sovereignty of God, get that book and read it. It will have a profound impact upon you. And that book drove me to the Word of God. And, of course, the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, was open to me. I'm 64 years old now. At the age of 37 is when I really came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I realized that He was in charge of my salvation. I was not. The Bible tells us that in Him we move and live and have our being. The Bible tells us that it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. In John 3, we are told Nicodemus came to Christ by night. And what did Christ tell Nicodemus? He said, "The Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and no man knoweth from whence it cometh, or whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born by the Spirit of God." So, back a year or so ago, I wrote this little booklet entitled The Lies of Free Will. Lies of Free Will. Do you control your own destiny? You see the airplane there? And it's in a storm, isn't it? It's in a major thunderstorm, lightning and thunder. Will that pilot bring that plane safely down? The pilot doesn't control whether he will bring it down or not. God's in control of the weather. God's in control as to the destiny of that plane. Look, God is not your co-pilot. God is your pilot. The Bible says that even the bounds of our habitation are under God's control. I can tell you firsthand the events in my life were not predetermined by Larry Phillips. Okay. I did not choose my parents. I did not choose what state I was born in. I may have thought I chose my vocation. Like Joseph, all of our events are preordained by God. Look at the providential hand of God in the life of Joseph and Abraham and Moses and Jacob and Esau and all of the prophets. He told Jeremiah, "While you were yet in your mother's womb, I knew you." Okay. And foreordained you would be a prophet unto the nations. So today, I want to encourage all of our guests that have joined us, Ruby and Marion and A.K. Roy and those others that will join us, that our times are in His hands. Now, we know that the precious blood of Christ is what was effectual for all for whom Christ died for. I want to welcome Mike Braun on, who's just joined us as well. You know, we used to sing a song as I was coming up, "There is power, power, power in the blood." But it does say, would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Well, we can't make ourselves free. It's not our decision that causes our salvation. You know, people want to base their whole theology on John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But they forget the first 15 verses of that chapter. Okay? Who are the whosoever's that believe? Who are those people that believe? A person cannot believe or have faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ if it has not been revealed to them that Jesus Christ died for them. He's the author and finisher of our faith, according to Hebrews 12. He's the author of our faith. He's the origin. And by the way, it's not our faith. It's the faith of Christ. The faith that Christ has placed within us. I've often shared with people that Lazarus is laying in the coffin, or whatever, however they buried him. They bundled him with all kind of cloth and so on. He's laying there. He was sinking. He laid there 3 days, right? And Lazarus says, I'm going to get up out of this grave. I'm going to believe on Jesus that He will raise me from the dead. Is that what happened? Lazarus didn't have any ability to come up out of that coffin himself. Jesus told Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. What did Jesus do? Jesus said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, when he came forth, was bound. He couldn't unbind himself. What did Christ say? Loose him and let him go. Hallelujah. So, Christ is the one that frees us from the bondage of sin by the power of His blood, through His Christ, through His resurrection. Paul said that if Christ had not raised from the dead, we would be yet in our sins. I want to welcome aboard Debbie Vital Ad. Welcome aboard, Debbie. So all of us who have been born again by the Spirit of God have been raised from the dead spiritually. While we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. And Christ did not give us temporary life. He gave us eternal life, everlasting life. If you've been quickened by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be with Him in paradise. What did He tell the thief on the cross? The thief on the cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, said to Christ, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, this day thou wilt be with me in paradise. This day. Often people say, how can that be this day? First of all, God is omnipresent. God is everywhere all the time. It's hard for our minds to grasp, isn't it? But anyway, Jesus Christ has loved us with an everlasting love. You know, let's talk a little bit about foreknowledge. The Arminians say, well, God looked down through the portals of time and saw that we would choose him. No, that's not foreknowledge. Foreknowledge means to be foreknown of God. God knew us intimately before we were born. And that foreknowledge is like the knowledge. There's many instances in the Old Testament where it talks about a man knowing his wife. Okay? An intimacy. Jesus Christ is intimately in love with all of those who've been chosen in him from the foundation of the world. Isn't that beautiful? So it starts with foreknowledge, and what's the next one? Predestination. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. People don't like to talk about predestination. Okay, but the fact is, let's examine that word predestination. If you look it up in any dictionary, it'll say to predetermine what happens before it happens. Do you realize that if you are an elect child of God, that God predetermined before you were born that you would be adopted into his family? Ephesians 1:5 says that we were predestinated unto adoption. Isn't that wonderful? It was predetermined that he was going to adopt you into his family before you were even born. As a former social worker who was fired from the state of Missouri for refusing to place children with homosexual foster parents, I can tell you that I saw a lot of horrendous things in the social welfare system. Wicked, very wicked system. And if you ever want to know about that firsthand, I've written a book about that, because we filed a federal lawsuit against the state of Missouri for my wrongful termination. I entitled it Phillips versus the State of Missouri. And it tells about the case against the state of Missouri for discriminating against me for refusing to place children with homosexuals. And that was 21 years ago. And God won the case. We won in federal court against the state of Missouri. And I didn't do it. I had nothing to do with it. But God saw fit to bring justice for my wrongful termination, because I asked to be reassigned to another position, and I was terminated because I would not conform to licensing homosexuals as foster parents and placing them with children with homosexuals. Now, why did I bring that up? Again, God is sovereign over evil. We know that. We see that in the 45th chapter of Isaiah. A lot of pastors and reverends and doctors and PhDs who come up with all these terms that are not even biblical, like common grace and the general call and the free offer of the gospel, which none of those are biblical. The salvation is not an offer. Okay? Salvation is not an offer. Salvation is a completed work that Christ did. He said it is finished. You cannot add to or subtract from the kingdom of God. I want to welcome Rose Lynn, who's just joined us as well. Welcome, Lynn. If Christ died for you, it will be most certain that you will be in heaven with him for eternity, forever and ever. He's given unto us everlasting life. And back to this predestinated unto adoption. Think about it. He's predestinated all of his people unto adoption into his family. Predetermined before the foundation of the world that you would be his child. I saw many adoptive parents in my career that changed their mind about adopting someone. And that child would be devastated. God's children will never be devastated. God will never change his mind. Once he's adopted you, you're his. He never unadopts you. Okay. When he predestinates you into adoption, it's a done deal. The church is also likened to the marriage. Today is my anniversary, August 23rd. And I've been married 44 years today. And I can tell you that my wife never divorced me. I deserved being divorced many times. You know, no question about it. I deserved it, you know. But she loved me. She took a vow, a covenant between us. And our love has grown over the years. Well, Christ will never divorce you. Christ never divorces his bride. He's the bridegroom. And we're his bride. And I want to welcome Lee Rogers, who's just joined us as well this morning. God is faithful. He's a faithful husband to his bride. He cherishes his bride. He loves his bride. He's coming back again for his bride. Amen. And so, the wonderful thing about the nature of the relationship that God has for his children is this unconditional love. We deserved hell. We deserved death. But God said, I have life for Larry and all of those who are in Christ that are joining us this morning. Now, if you will indulge me, I have, over the years, liked to write poetry, you know, and you've heard the saying, a poet don't know it. Okay. I don't claim to be a poet, but what I do, what I must say is that there's something about writing, and I would challenge you all to try this. Maybe it would be a great comfort to you. The first little book that I wrote from the poems was Volume 1, Poems for Edification. And then I wrote three other volumes of poems. And I can tell you that this is the second little volume of poems. And then the third one. And then the last one. I'm not sure if I can put my hands on that one or not. Thought I had it here. But anyway, there's four volumes of it. And I can tell you that it's been more of a blessing to me. There's my lovely wife and my son. Uh, it's been more of a blessing to me, I think, than others. When we write regarding our relationship with our Lord, the Holy Spirit is precious in bringing things to our remembrance, bringing things to our mind. I'm going to read about 3 or 4 poems out of this first book that I wrote. And, you know, this first one I'm going to read to you, I have to explain what kind of brought this on. You know, we love our families very much. Our fathers and our mothers, our brothers, sisters and our brothers. But there came a time when I had to, I want to invite Vaya Kamara, Ruby Kokair, and Don Donaro, Dinaru, Farouk Sajar, I'm sorry, I can't pronounce some of these, Farouk Sarai, and Paul Nihama Salai, on board with us, as well as Marion, Roy, Mike, Debbie, Rose, Lee, Emmanuel. There came a time when I could no longer have the same intimate relationship with my family as I once had because of their refusing to stand by the Bible. You know, it's important who we associate with. And so the nature of my relationship over the years has changed dramatically with my family. I have a brother and a sister. My mom is 89 years old. My dad will be 91 in September. And we used to go, Rosette and my son, Mark, who is disabled. And that's another story. He has a brain degenerative disease, and God has given us grace to live with Mark throughout all of these tests and trials. But I can tell you that we used to go to family reunions. Have you ever attended a family reunion and come away and realized this was not a spiritual endeavor at all? You know, what goes on at family reunions can be very wicked. Pride, okay, self-centeredness, lust for power, greed, and the me first. You know, we're living in the me generation. That's what they call it, the me generation. They say the millennials. I say we're stuck in the me generation. But anyway, I've entitled this poem, The Greatest Family Reunion Ever. I can see him now, and I'm ready to. Christ splitting the eastern sky with his arms outstretched, the clouds so blue, saying, "Welcome home, my child, this reunion's for you." I can see him now, and hear him say, "Today, I remove all your scars and pain away. There will be no more vicious attacks on your soul. Welcome home, my child. You're eternally whole." I can see him now, with all that love, ushering me into the family above. They smile and welcome me with their open arms, and I see the beauty of my Savior's charms. I can see him now, seated on his throne, announcing to heaven, "Larry's now home." They are worshiping and praising Christ's holy name. And at this family reunion, I hear them proclaim, All glory and honor we give to the Son, who is the one worthy, his family, he has won. Each of us to God by his death on the cross. This marriage supper of the Lamb came with great cost. I can see him now, smiling not only at me, but Christ is delighted with his whole family. With the sacrifice he paid for them on the tree, this family reunion is for eternity. What a contrast this is to family reunions on earth, where pride and sin and sorrow are birthed. I can hear him now say, "Larry, never again, because you're forever with me and my Father in heaven." I'm looking forward to that family reunion in heaven, I can tell you. It's going to be the family reunion of all family reunions, is it not? Well, I'll read a couple more here before we conclude this breakfast club this morning. I know for some of you it's not breakfast time across the ocean. It's probably supper time. This is entitled, I was going to try to see here. Who else has joined us, but I can't get this to come up. I always like to say hello to the people that have joined us. There's a little glitch with Facebook on this comments thing. They need to come up with an easier way. People to see comments. Well, anyway, now I've lost my... Well, anyway, we'll continue on. I don't know if I can... Now I've lost my little mouse thing. I can't see it. You know, for us old people and technology, we constantly are learning, aren't we? Well, God's in control of all of it. I entitled this Birth, New Birth, and Glorification. When we take our first breath and are born on this earth, our mother and father celebrate our new birth. They invite the relatives over full of joy and laughter. But we have been born into a world of sin and disaster. Something needs to happen to get us out of this state. We need to be born again. The Bible tells us for his people they were predestinated. It was his plan. Well, if that's the case for you and that's the case for me, we've received salvation. The final thing to be accomplished for us is our glorification. Well, something's happened to my program. I've lost my mouse. I can't seem to do anything with it. I may end up losing this recording. I don't know. I don't know what's happened. So we'll read one more poem and then we'll conclude this morning. It's been a joy having all of you with me this morning. Musabar Salamat Masih is calling. I'd love to talk to you right now, but I'm broadcasting, brother. So I'm unable to talk to you right now. I've enjoyed our conversation so far. We lost each other yesterday when we were on the phone. I believe Mr. Bashar Masih is from Pakistan, I believe. And so anyway, that's what's going on with that. Okay, got it back, so that's good. We're back in business. I'm going to read one more poem. Sorry for the little glitch there, folks. I apologize for that. I want to put my email here for you. And y'all are free to email me anytime. It may take me a while to get back with you. We get a lot of emails. But I'd love to be able to have that relationship with each one of you. It's Roth Miller Stewart, at gmail.com. And if you send me an email, you get invited to our personal conference, video conference call. We have a video conference call every Saturday night, where we introduce our friends to each other. We can have up to 25 people on that video conference call. It's in Google Hangouts. I want to invite John and Emmanuel, who's also joined us, as well as a number of other people. I can't see everyone on my screen because we've had a number of guests this morning. I'm going to read a couple more poems, and we'll conclude this time together. I kind of got long-winded this morning. I apologize. Kind of got wound up, didn't I? This is called loneliness. Loneliness. Have you ever been so lonely and bored out of your mind? It seemed that life was meaningless. If you could only find someone to talk to, something new to do. Life was getting blasé and really old to you. Each day you awake with another day of gray. If there was just someone to talk to, something new today. But it's the same old them and the same old you. Now you realize why the song was written, Love is Blue. Then, all of a sudden, you hear a flutter in the trees. A squirrel has found a walnut kicking in the breeze. Next you hear the robin singing on the lawn and a puppy barking and see a baby fawn. And then hear a baby cackling and a child laughing too. And then you realize life's not so boring all around you. Wake up and smell the coffee. God has created all things. I like to smell that coffee. Wake up and smell the coffee. God has created all things. If you'll just look around you, all of earth, his praises sing. From now on, don't be so sad and gray. Don't be so blue. Thank your Heavenly Father for making all things new. Well, I love you guys. Thanks for joining us. Have a blessed day in the Lord. And may you have the comfort of the Holy Spirit today, leading and guiding you into all truth. God bless.